If you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time now to the book of 1 Samuel. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 22 this morning and verses 1 through 5. 1 Samuel 22 verses 1 through 5. Our message series is on David and Saul. And today we're going to be talking about dealing with God's delays. Dealing with God's delays. One of the things we learn from reading Scripture and really just from life experience as well, is that God's timetable is often different from our timetable. Have you ever noticed that? God's timetable is different from our timetable. And it's really hard for us to be patient at times, isn't it? You know the old prayer, right? Lord, give me patience. And give it to me now, right? I mean, we can't even be patient in praying for patience. We want things to happen now, but as we shall see in our passage this morning, God is often more interested in what we are doing and learning in the meantime. And so we're in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. 1 Samuel 22, beginning at the first verse. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Cherith. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these verses this morning, as we look at this passage from your word, Lord, we know that this word is written to us today. Your word is living and active. And God, you have important truths for us to learn and take home today. So give us attentive ears and open hearts. Speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How do you personally deal with delays in life? How do you personally deal with delays in life? You know, a lot of us struggle with delays. I mean, never mind the major setbacks or delays in life. Some of us have trouble just waiting for the red light to turn green, right? So, I mean, we're starting real basics. But yeah, delays, it's an inevitable part of life, isn't it? But if you're going to learn how to deal with delays in a godly manner, you will need to learn to see your delays from God's perspective. And there's a pattern we often see repeated in the Scriptures. We see this time and time again in God's Word. And it goes like this. God gives someone a promise. God gives someone either a promise or a vision or a task, but then he delays in fulfilling it, at least according to our timetable. It seems like a delay. Let me give you some examples. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. But did the son come right away? No, they had to wait years for Isaac to be born. When Moses tried to stand up for the people in Egypt, he ended up going into exile, tending sheep out in the desert for 40 years before God fulfilled his plan in Moses' life. How about Joseph? God gave Joseph prophetic dreams about ruling even over his family members. He did that when Joseph was a teenager. But it wasn't until Joseph was 30 years old, after his brothers sold him into slavery, after he had spent years in prison, before that dream was eventually fulfilled. And the same thing is happening with David in our text this morning. Now remember, God promised David great things. He promised great things to David. David was anointed as the future king of Israel. And once he was anointed, everything seemed to be unfolding according to God's plan. David was brought into King Saul's service. David defeated the enemy, Goliath. David forged a friendship with Saul's son, Jonathan. Saul gave David a high rank in the army. God was with David in everything he did. All the people of Israel and Judah loved him. David even married the king's daughter, Michal. And so everything was falling into place for David to become the next king of Israel. Everything was falling into place until it fell right through the bottom, right? Because then all of a sudden everything ground to a halt. Saul, right? Saul is the thorn in David's flesh here. Saul grew jealous of David's success, and Saul was determined to kill him. And now all of a sudden, David finds himself on the run. That's what we talked about last week, right? On the run, literally running for his life. He's a fugitive. He's hiding out from Saul and his soldiers. He's sneaking food and weapons from the priests at Nob. We looked at that last week. He's acting like a madman in the land of Gath in order to try to save his own life. We looked at that last week. And that brings us to our text this morning. When we come now to these verses in 1 Samuel 22, it looks like all of God's promises for David have been put on hold, right? All of the promises, all that David was expecting, and now he's hiding out in a cave, hiding out in the cave of Adullam. So what do you do when life does not turn out the way you expected? When things don't turn out the way you thought God was leading? What do you do when you suddenly find yourself in a cave instead of the palace? How do you deal with God's delays in your life? Well, there are three things David did. They're all in our passage this morning. And as we look at them, they can help us when we are also dealing with God's delays in our lives. Let me share them with you. Number one, He served God where he was at. That's in verses 1 and 2. Secondly, he continued to seek God's will. He continued to seek God's will. That's in verses 3 and 4. And then thirdly, he was quick to respond to God's word. We're going to see that in verse 5. So we're going to look at all three of these actions of David this morning. We're going to see how do they help us when we're dealing with God's delays in our life. How do you deal with God's delays? First of all, serve God right where you are. Serve God right where you are, right where he's put you. Let's take a look now. Verses 1 and 2. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. Now, we looked at Gath last week, right? Gath was one of the capital cities of the Philistines. That's where David ended up acting like a madman, right? Drooling on his beard in order to protect his life. Well, we learn here in verse 1, David leaves Gath and he escapes to the cave of Adullam. And the word that's translated escaped there in the Hebrew carries the idea of slipping away, being delivered from danger. Now remember, why did David go to Gath in the first place? Because it wasn't safe for him in Judah. But now it turns out it's not safe for him in Gath either. So David leaves Gath and he escapes to the cave of Adullam. Now, we're not sure exactly where this cave is located. It was most likely near the Judean border, somewhere in what, you know, this sort of this no man's land between, you know, Israel and the Philistines. Probably about 15 miles southwest of Bethlehem, David's hometown. There are a lot of caves in this. It's a very rocky hillside area. And so one of these caves provided David and his men shelter, concealment, protection, security. When David's family learned where he was, they went down to him there. We don't know how they learned. It couldn't have been super common knowledge. Or Saul would have known where he was at. Maybe David sent them some messengers. Apparently, they didn't feel safe around King Saul either, so they go down to be with David. And then all sorts of other people start showing up at the cave. Once again, I don't know how Saul didn't know about it, but others are learning about it. Most of these were people who were in some kind of trouble or other. Verse 2 describes them with the three D's, right? All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented. And these people all gathered around David, and he became their leader. Now, the Hebrew word for leader there could also be translated ruler or prince. Remember, we're looking at all of the different ways that David foreshadows Christ, that he's a type of Christ. And here he's a type of Christ here, Jesus, who also ministered to the downcast and distressed and the poor. So you might wonder, well, what did David do in the cave? He's hanging out in the cave. What did he do? He continued to serve God where he was. He ministered to his family. He ministered to those who were in trouble. David did not become passive or paralyzed. He did not just sit around and pout, poor me. No, he acted, he organized, he planned, he served where he was at. There's a great verse in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Peter, a verse that we looked at actually earlier in the service, tells you exactly what you should do when you're going through a difficult time. 1 Peter 4:19, let me read it for you. It says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." So what are you supposed to do according to 1 Peter? First of all, you commit yourself to God. Why? Because he is your faithful Creator. He made you. He cares about you. He knows exactly where you are and what you're going through at all times. He has good plans for you. So commit yourself to him. So many people turn away from God when life gets difficult, right? They go through a hard time, they turn away from God. Folks, that's exactly when you need to be turning to God, right? You need to trust his work and his plan in your life, even during a time of trial. So that's the first thing you do. You commit yourself to following him, praising him, serving him. And then Peter says, continue to do good. Commit yourself to your faithful Creator and continue to do good. Such an important part of that verse there, because we all have this tendency, right? We all have this tendency when we're going through a hard time, we're going through a difficult time, we have a tendency to withdraw. We have a tendency to become passive during times of trial. And it is absolutely vital when you're going through that hard time that you continue to act, to serve, to do good. And that's what David did. How do you deal with God's delays in your life? First thing you do, serve God right where you are, right where God has you. Serve God where you're at. Secondly, continue to seek God's will. Continue to seek God's will. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me now. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. How do you discern God's will for you in the present? Part of seeking God's will in the present is remembering what God has done for you in the past. God is sovereign over our lives, which means that everything in life happens for a reason. Countless people can testify how God has taken even the worst things from their past, and God has used them for good later on in their lives. You see, with God, nothing is ever wasted. And so part of seeking God's will in the present is remembering what God has done in the past and then building off of that. Henry Blackaby, in his Bible study materials called Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby talks about looking for the spiritual markers in your life. What does he mean by that? It means those spiritual markers, those are those key events, those key turning points in your life that God has allowed to take place, in which God wishes to use for the future. David illustrates for us all of this. He illustrates this for us in what he does for his parents here. Now, David doesn't want his parents to dwell in a cave with him. He doesn't want his parents to be on the run with him. So what does he do? He brings his parents to the king of Moab for protection. Now, Moab is a foreign country. This was a fairly long journey east. It's all the way on the other side of the Dead Sea. You might wonder, David, why Moab? Why did David bring his parents to Moab of all places? I'll tell you why. Because David remembered what God had done in the past. He remembered the story of Ruth in the Bible. He remembered how God had brought his great-grandmother Ruth. Did you know that? That Ruth in the Bible is David's great-grandmother? How God had brought his great-grandmother Ruth out of the land of Moab. She was a Moabite. Brought Ruth out of the land of Moab and brought her into the community of faith in Israel. David had Moabite blood in him. That is part of his story. And you know what? The king of Moab would know this. David was a well-known warrior. He killed Goliath. Everybody knew about David. You know what else? Genealogies were an important part of this culture. They were an important part of identifying a person in those days. You were known by your genealogy. The king of Moab knew that David had Moabite blood. David remembered his roots. He looked to his past, and he trusted that this was part of God's plan. And so he brings his parents to Moab for safety. Are there parts of your life that remain a mystery to you? You don't know why God allowed certain things to happen? God is writing the story of your life. And although you may not understand all the details right now, you will understand it all later on down the road. And God can take the evil things, even the evil things done against us by others. God can take even our own foolish mistakes, the things we brought on ourselves. He can take all of that and he can turn them for good. Part of seeking God's will in the present is remembering what God has done in the past, and then you build from that. David remembers what God has done in the past, and then David also continues to seek God's will for the future. Look at what he says to the king of Moab. I'm going back to verse 4 now. He says, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" Notice that David wants to learn what God will do for him. David's not seeking his own will in this matter. No, he's seeking God's will. David's not trying to force what he wants to happen and how and when. No, David wants to know what God will do for him. And you and I, we need to do the same. We need to seek God's will for our future, not our own. How do you deal with God's delays? We've looked at two good ones already. Serve God where you are. Number two, continue to seek God's will. And now the third one, be quick to respond to God's word. Look at verse 5 with me now. "But the prophet Gad said to David, 'Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah.' So David left and went to the forest of Hereth." Now this is the first time that we meet the prophet Gad in the Bible. Later on, the Bible calls him Gad the prophet, David's seer. And so Gad had a very personal relationship with David. He was one of David's advisors. David actually had three prophets who guided and instructed him in his life: Samuel, Nathan, and Gad. We've already met Samuel, right? This whole book is named 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, right? So we met Samuel. Nathan we'll meet a little bit in the future with David and Bathsheba. But here we meet Gad. We find all three mentioned together in one verse, actually. 1 Chronicles 29:29 says this: "As for the events of King David's reign, from beginning to end, they are written in the records of," here we go, "Samuel the seer, the records of Nathan the prophet, and the records of Gad the seer." And so Gad the prophet comes to speak to David. Now, although the king had ruling authority over the people in Israel, the king had ruling authority, the prophet who spoke God's word was considered the higher authority. And David's not king yet. He's going to be king. And this, you could always tell a king's heart towards God, how? By the way he responded to God's prophets. I'll tell you this about David. David was always quick to respond to God's word through the prophets. Even when David messes up, even when he's done wrong, and God's sending him prophets to convict him of his sin, as soon as they speak, David's heart is quick to respond. It's one of the reasons why David is described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. And so when it was God's time for David to leave the stronghold, notice God's time, might not have been David's time. David might have been getting very comfortable in the cave, who knows? But when it was God's time to leave the stronghold, we don't know how long David was there, doesn't tell us. However long he was there, when it was God's time for David to leave the stronghold, God sends his prophet, Gad. Gad the prophet speaks to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." Judah, David's going to say, "What? I just ran away from Judah. King Saul's in Judah. King Saul's trying to kill me in Judah." It was the last place David wanted to go. He's on the run. He's left Judah. But David was quick to respond to God's word, and he went anyways. You can always tell a person's heart towards God by the way they respond to God's word. The word of God reveals a person's heart. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges or reveals the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." How about you this morning? Are you quick to respond to God's word? What does your response to God's word tell you about your heart this morning? Now you might be wondering, well, what does that even mean, to be quick to respond to God's word? Two things. First of all, you must be open to hearing God's word. Open to hearing God's word. See, the first step towards cutting yourself off from God, which none of us want to do that, right? We don't want to be cut off from God. First step to cutting yourself off from God is cutting yourself off from his word. Now, some people do this intentionally. They intentionally cut themselves off from God's word, basically because they don't want to hear what God says. A lot of times because they know what they're doing is wrong, and they just don't want to be confronted with it. They don't want to hear God's word for themselves. But other times we cut ourselves off from God's word unintentionally. Maybe it's through laziness or lack of discipline or wrong priorities in our lives. So how can you be open to hearing God's word? David received God's word through the prophets. We receive God's word today through the Bible. And so if you're open to hearing God's word, you're going to be reading the Bible, right? You're going to be reading the Bible for yourself. You'll be sitting under the preaching of God's word weekly. You'll be looking for opportunities to study God's word with other people. You'll be memorizing key passages. You'll be reading good Christian books or listening to good Christian podcasts that will help you to grow to understand the Bible that much better. In other words, you'll do everything you can to be exposed to God's word. Because the first step in being quick to respond to God's word is being open to hearing God's word. And so you'll hear God's word every opportunity you can. Be open to hearing God's word, and then secondly, you must be quick to obey God's word. See, it's not enough simply to read the Bible or to hear it preached on Sundays. That's good. But you got to do what it says, right? God's word is God's word. That means it's what God is saying to you. And you cannot submit to God's authority in your life without obeying God's word. How do you deal with God's delays in your life? Do what David did. Serve God where you are. Continue to seek God's will. Be quick to respond to God's word. Folks, the view from the cave can be a dark and lonely one. And the surrounding walls of the cave can block your perspective. The view from the cave can sometimes be depressing. But it does not mean that God is through with you. It does not mean that God has forgotten his promises. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Think about Jesus for a moment. Because remember, Jesus also went into the cave. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried in the tomb. That was a dark day for his disciples. All of their hopes and dreams were crushed when Christ was crucified. All of their future plans lay buried in the tomb with Jesus. And I can tell you, the view from the cave was pretty bleak that day. But 3 days later, Jesus rose triumphant from the grave, and he fulfilled God's plan for the ages. And so when your life seems like it's off course, when certain dreams or plans lay shattered at your feet, remember, God is still God. He has good plans for your life, and the view from the cave is not all that God has for you. And even if you're in that cave due to your own sin or foolish mistakes, no matter how bad you or I may mess things up, God is still bigger than our sin. He is bigger than our mistakes, and he will fulfill his plans for your life if you will trust and follow him. Amen. So what do you do when you find yourself in the cave? Keep serving. Keep seeking. Keep following God's word. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Well, dear God, we thank you so much for this section of Scripture. It teaches us so much on how we are to respond when we're in those delay times in life. And Lord, we've all been there. Lord, some of us are there right now. Some of us here this morning are right in the midst of that. We're waiting, waiting, waiting. We're wondering if you've heard us. We're wondering if you've forgotten us. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to each person's heart today that may be feeling those things. Lord, if their faith is in Jesus this morning, you are there with them and for them. You are in the cave with them. You have your timetable, your plan, and we can trust you. And you have good things for us to do right now while we're in the cave. And you will help us to do them. So Lord, I pray that you would encourage us by your Holy Spirit this morning. Encourage us by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.